Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
But do you see the side that the fans are coming from when the product looks bad?
I don't know. There's a reason why they're fans. Everybody can say what they think that we should be doing, but in the long end, they're not qualified to do what Mayo is doing or whatever the Crafts are doing. You know, sometimes they just got to know their place and just, you know, understand that it's a work in progress. The Lions, 4 years ago, when Dan Campbell took over, what were their record?
They had three wins.
Yeah. Right. Do you guys remember what their record was?
Yeah, 3-13, I believe it was.
These past 2 years, I'm not trying to compare, but that's a goal that we're trying to develop here in this new regime. You know, that's the vision.
Afternoons with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Tobai. The clip that launched 1,000 takes today, which we appreciate, by the way. I know we've done a lot of ripping of Jelani Tobai today. I'm very thankful and appreciative of Jelani Tobai and all the hard work that he put in so that we wouldn't have to work as hard today.
It's true.
I mean, really, that's what happened today. We all had our thoughts about the last game of the season, and here it is, and this team stinks, and are they going to fire the coach, and blah, blah, blah. And here comes Jelani Tobai. Saying, you know what, fans, bleep you.
you know your place.
Idiots. Why didn't you? There's a reason you're up there in the stands paying to watch cool guys like me out down here missing tackles. Like, that's the reason, is because you're just a fan and I'm a football player and you need to know your role and shut your mouth. It was great. Oh, was that great.
And don't misconstrued me.
And do not let
it
get
misconstrued.
Hey, that's
Dietrich Wise.
Dietrich Wise who said that, but
sorry.
Still.
Don't lump them all together.
Same thing. This has been.
Oh, he's got issues too.
Dietrich Wise?
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that, yes. And that's maybe part of this entire conversation, which is the Patriots culture. And how bad is it really? I mean, we talked about Mayo and how a big part of what he does or what he was billed as being the guy who was going to do, not so much X's and O's. He's not an X's and O's guy. He's a culture guy. He's a rah-rah guy. He's a leader of men type of guy. And this is where, at the end of the season, his players are mentally. This is what they're doing. They're defending him, which, if you're evaluating Jerod Mayo's performance this year, I do think you look at that as almost kind of a weird positive. Okay, it's a terrible team with a terrible record, but they're still sticking up for their coach. There's something there. There's something to that. But you can also...
So he's a good guy. Woohoo!
Right. It's not much, but it's something. You can also look at it like this. This leader of men, this guy who's supposed to be running this tight ship, this tight locker room, who's supposed to be showing all these guys, treating them like men and all of that, he's got guys in there now insulting our paying customers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the Patriots culture now. That's not good.
That is not good.
That's as bad as it gets.
Especially, yeah, when you're already seeing lackluster interest from fans. And it also harkens back to a question I asked to start the year. Is this year one or is this year
five
of the rebuild? And it feels like most people aren't treating this as year one? Because usually year one is treated as sort of honeymoon period.
Yeah.
I'd like you to win. I'd like you to show this, whatever, but it's unrealistic to expect much in year one. It feels like a lot of people are bringing recent years with them to the assessment of year one for Gerard Mayo, which is probably not fair to him. But guess what? Life's not fair. Some people probably think it wasn't fair that he got the job over them, right? Like, life isn't fair. Stuff happens. But something, two things.
Well, you remember the Lions with Dan Campbell. I mean, they were
That's where I wanted to go.
Bad in their first year.
Why are you the Lions? Why aren't you the Bears?
Well, he did play for the Lions, and then Dan Campbell cut his ass.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, maybe he has that.
And they got good after they got rid of him.
It's true.
But Gerard Mayo has done this. Oh, I'll compare myself to Dan Campbell and the Lions. Why? Because you're a ex-player and coach? Like, what makes you the
and
Lions?
Your team sucks right now?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. You're just latching on to a team that sucked that got good. Why aren't you a team that sucked that stayed sucky? Why aren't you the Jags or the Panthers or the Bears or any of these other teams that hired coaches and then fired coaches and still sucked and kept coaches and changed coordinators? Aren't the Bears the perfect example?
Yes.
They fired their offensive coordinator, hired Shane Waldron, fired Shane Waldron, fired Matt Eberflus. They probably should have fired Matt Eberflus last year, right? Like, what makes you believe? Actually, I don't even give a rat's ass what makes you believe. Convince me you're the Lions.
Yeah.
Why are you the? Because the Lions stood for something.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Campbell set a culture that we now respect. We weren't sure we respected it in the middle, but we knew the culture. He's going to be a bombastic ex-player, emotional, hopped up on caffeine, go for it on fourth down. We knew some of the things that were going to be the culture of the Lions, right?
Yeah.
And now we know.
And you felt a little better about their roster, too, right?
Well,
you felt good about Goff and St. Brown, and DeAndre Swift was their running back
back
then.
They built a good roster.
They had the
Penei
tight end,
Sewell
too.
They brought in.
Yeah,
like,
who was
I don't
the
know
tight
where
end
it
who went to Minnesota?
T.J. Hawkinson.
Hawkinson was there.
Yeah.
You know, like, they had players.
They
didn't
talent.
Play well, but they had talent, yeah. This team doesn't have talent, doesn't have culture, doesn't have anything.
So then why are you the Lions? Why do you keep telling me you're the Lions? That's your get-out-of-jail-free card right now, it seems. Gerard Mayo has done it. Players have done it. But why? No one has told me why I should think you're the Lions instead of the Bears, the Jags, the Panthers, or any of the other crappy teams, the Commanders / Redskins, who were in the cycle of crap for years and years. Why aren't you one of those teams? Explain to me what makes you the Lions. That's first and foremost. And then the other thing here is, I really like Gerard Mayo's answer about culture today.
Yeah.
And it's something I think we talked about with Alex Cora at some point. I brought up, oh, you guys have a great clubhouse. And he kind of chuckled, and he's like, basically, a great clubhouse is when you win and a bad clubhouse is when you lose. Like, and Gerard said that today, something to the effect of, like, it's revisionist or retroactive evaluation of your record. Because, really, there are bad teams that have good cultures and really good teams who have bad cultures. Sometimes talent just wins, and the culture is squashed. And I think Alex Cora said, he might have even said 2018, like, oh, some of the stuff that went on.
Sure.
And I asked him to say it, and he's like, not yet.
Not going to tell you
yet. Not yet. But did we think they had bad culture? No. Why? Because they won.
They won.
When you win games.
Shaq and Kobe hated each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So this culture thing is great. It's part of it. It's a piece of the mosaic.
Mm-hmm.
But are you going anywhere talent-wise? Because guess what? They're never going to win because Gerard Mayo sets a good culture and people like him.
The last three Patriots championships, Tom Brady was not happy.
No.
He was not happy being here. Bill Belichick, there was a lot of
dysfunction.
We all watched the documentary, right? I mean, like, whatever you think about what they said about Belichick there, you can't deny some of the facts of that, which were said into a microphone, which was, I am the least happy 8-win quarterback, whatever it was in 20.
I'm the most unhappy 8-0 quarterback in the history of the NFL.
I mean, that he was miserable here. And they still won. I mean, they still won three championships over that span, despite there being some real fractures in the culture and the Patriot way and all that other stuff. Why? Because they went out and they traded for Darrell Revis and they brought in Brandon Browner and they did all these other things that they had to do in order to stay at the top of the heap with their great quarterback and their good coach and everything else. I mean, I think that was, I didn't mean to say good and great like that, but you know what I mean.
I got
like, this is not that. Like, you're down at the bottom trying to pull yourself up out of it. And having a good culture is sort of a nice little luxury. It is not the be-all, end-all. What you need is talent.
Right.
What you need is competitive guys who can go out there and give you something in at the end of these seasons. And you need to be able to climb your way back into the playoff picture. If you can't do that, then forget about the culture. Who cares about the culture?
And I don't just mean talent on the field. Part of the culture or talent in Detroit is Ben Johnson, the most lusted after offensive mind in football, not named McVay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you have one of those?
Do I have one of those mind?
Yeah. No, not
this
you.
Team?
I mean the Patriots.
No.
Okay.
No way.
So again, why are you Detroit? What is in Detroit? Their roster building has been as good as anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you about
They've had good drafts.
Are you about to hit your stretch of good drafts?
They made good trades.
We haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Is it coming? All this is coming? You're going to be the Lions. You're not the Lions. Stop talking about the Lions.
It's going to be a while before, even if you do have some good drafts, it'll probably be a while before that all comes to fruition anyway. I mean, yeah, your top guys will hit, but if you're hitting later on in later rounds, eventually those guys become starters and that's it. But that takes a couple years.
And I actually think the Patriots and Gerard Mayo are doing themselves a disservice by comparing themselves to the Lions.
I agree.
You know how players, we get frustrated as media, but around draft time, like, you know, Drake May, they compare you to Josh Allen. Do you model your game? Actually, I would just like to be Drake May, mm-hmm. right? That's what the Patriots should be saying.
Yeah.
We're just going to try to be the best Patriots we can be, you know, build our culture.
We're just trying to be the best Patriots of all time.
Like, I wouldn't do that.
Let's not do that.
Current Patriots we can be. But, like, comparing yourself to the Lions. So what did the Lions? I want to look that up. So let's go teams, Lions, and see. So they went 3-13. What did they do after that? Oh, okay, 9-8.
Yep.
So if you're the Lions, I expect a winning season next year.
Yeah.
9-8.
Sure.
Because you keep telling me you're the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
You got the 3 wins down. Now you got to get the 9 next year. I'm using their comparison, right?
Yep.
I didn't make the comparison. Gerard Mayo, Jelani Tavai, and all these other guys made the comparison. So book it. 9 wins for the Patriots next year. I'm very excited, actually, for next year, a winning team. We haven't had one of those in a while. Right?
Right.
You don't believe it. You know why?
Don't believe they're going to be 9-8 next year?
Because they're not
no,
the
I
effing
don't.
Lions.
I do not believe that.
Despite how many times they tell us and compare themselves to the Lions, they're not the effing Lions.
No. The Lions, even when they were 3-13-1, had a better roster than you do right now. That's I think that's undeniable. And you're going to end up with basically the same record. I know they were 3-13. It's the tie. It's basically the same. But that was a team that you looked at and you thought at the very least, they have the guys to compete. They just got to put it together.
That's
you
true.
Don't have the guys to compete.
Plus, you look at it like leading receiver. St. Brown. Mm-hmm. Brown. Do you have anybody on the Patriots you think is going to lead them in receiving the next 4 years in a row?
No.
No, okay. Good.
Definitely not.
Again, so why are
well,
you
Travis
the Lions?
Hunter after you draft him maybe, but yeah, not before that.
So is he there Aiden Hutchinson next year, Arcand?
Could be. He could be.
If you're going to be the Lions, that's the one big change between 21 and 22.
Yeah, and they had some other picks in there. St. Brown was like a fourth round pick, so like there's been
yeah, but he was already
guys.
There for
he
3
was
and
there
13.
When they got
that's
there.
My
that's
point.
True, yeah.
So you need Booty or Douglas or who's the Patriots' leading receiver right now?
It's probably Booty, Douglas. I think. Right?
Oh, is it Booty? Okay, so is Booty going to lead them in receiving?
I think it's Booty in yards and Douglas in touchdowns.
So one of those guys right. The next 4 years will lead them in everything? I don't think so.
I doubt it.
I don't feel great about that. You are not the Lions. Stop saying you're the Lions.
Dave is in Natick. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, good evening. Happy New Year, guys.
Good evening, Dave.
You know, I think you started to touch on it a little bit. The best culture in the world can't overcome a roster that's absolutely devoid of talent because, you know, the same reason that the best college team in the country would get blown out by 60 points against the worst NFL team is that if you don't have the talent, you don't have the roster, I don't care what you're doing in the coach's box or the locker room, you're not going to overcome that. I think the Patriots are at least 6 impact players away from even being a 7-win team, given that the only clear Pro Bowler you have at this point is Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah, and he's not a Pro Bowler. So, I mean, yeah, you have one Pro Bowler. It's Brandon Schooler.
Hard
you
to
don't
call
have any
him
other
a clear Pro Bowler when they announced the Pro Bowl rosters and he wasn't on it.
I know.
Although,
I mean,
did you hear Snooty Mayo?
Snooty Mayo?
When he was asked about that, we'll see how the All-Pro vote goes.
Oh,
so you're implying he's going to be All-Pro?
Bill Barnwell had him down as an All-Pro. The Bill Barnwell All-Pro list had it, but I don't think he's going to be. It's less because now you're both conferences.
Yes,
and he didn't
it's the
make
two
it
best
the
corners.
There's no way. Yeah.
Even if you go second team, it's the 4 best corners.
Yeah,
I don't think Bill Barnwell even has a vote.
I don't think he does either. And
Brady made a list on his little website.
Right. I don't know why you're mad at Bill Barnwell, but okay.
I get annoyed. People seem to think Bill Barnwell is the second coming, and I've never understood
second
the fascination.
Coming of who?
I don't know. People put a lot of stock in Bill Barnwell, and I don't really know what his credentials are. All I know is he aggravates me because he goes to the like long form school of, boy, do you have to scroll through his crap.
You do have to scroll through stuff, but he does do league wide.
He's
click
also
on
one
this
of you
for
guys.
Your team. What do you mean, one of my guys?
He likes the deeper dive in the stats.
You like that too.
No, I don't.
When it
like
suits your argument, you like it exactly.
I do
as
like
much
it
as
suits
I do.
My argument.
617-779-7937. Here's Dan Ball to tell you what's trending. We will have our final thoughts on this piece of garbage team and this piece of garbage season before it ends, and then we're going to make some picks for Week 18. That's all coming up next.
We'll see what the All-Pro vote says.
Yeah.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Patriots return to the practice field this morning, finishing up preparations for their final game of the season against the Bills at Gillette on Sunday. Four players have been ruled out for Sunday's game. That's Ben Brown, Christian Gonzalez, Jabril Peppers, and Jalen Polk. Six players, including Drake May, Kyle Duggar, and Hunter Henry, are all listed as questionable. The Celtics are back in action tonight as they continue their road trip against the 22-11 Houston Rockets. Tip-off for that game is at 8 p.m. Three players on the Celtics injury report for tonight, Jalen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis, are both listed as questionable, while Al Horford is out. The Bruins are off tonight. Boston returns to action tomorrow when they visit Toronto to play the Maple Leafs. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. for that game. In Bruins news, the team has signed Mark Kastelic to a three-year extension with an annual cap hit of $1.567 million. Kastelic is tied for the league lead in penalty minutes so far this season. In national NFL news, the Jets interviewed former Tennessee Titans coach Mike Vrabel this morning at their facility for their head coaching vacancy. And finally, Week 18 in the NFL begins tomorrow with a pair of games featuring AFC North teams. Coverage of the Browns and Ravens begins at 4 p.m. right here on WEEI, with coverage of Bengals and Steelers beginning right after the conclusion of that game. I'm Dan Ball. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons with Arcan and Hart coming up after this.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI. On WEEI.
Gerard Mayo today. He did a better job of walking back his players' comments than he does walking back his own comments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a pretty good answer for him right there.
And he's done a better job even Saturday night he did a better job about the Mayo. Like, he gets it. He gets that they suck.
Yeah.
The fans get to voice their suck. As he said, they pay the bills.
Right.
Like, Jelani Tavai. Did I say it right?
Jelani Tavai.
Jelani Tavai.
I don't think you've said it right.
No,
once
really
today.
Struggling.
I really
that.
Don't
Jelani.
Think you've said it right one time.
Jelani.
He has said it right, but when he said it right, he thought he said it wrong.
Okay, probably it. Yeah,
which
so
was
he switched
almost
back,
worse.
Switched
anyway.
Back the wrong way.
Tavai doesn't believe any of that. I think Gerard believes that the fans matter and the fans get the right and the fans pay their money.
Right.
Like, I think that he believes that. He even talked about learning that lesson at an early age that not everybody's going to like Gerard Mayo. Like, not every fan is going to be a fan of Gerard Mayo, and you have to learn to deal with that as a competitor as you play sports and whatever. I don't think Tavai believes that, which is so weird.
I know.
For who he is. If he was a receiver and said that, I'd look at it differently. Because I just treat receivers differently. They think they are showmen and you know, yeah, Terrell Owens doing, like, on the star. Like, they believe they are the show. A weird hybrid edge linebacker who got sent packing by the Lions and is now a mediocre player on a putrid defense, thinks fans should shut the hell up and just pay their money and sit on their hands?
Yeah, like, it's a privilege to watch me go out there and miss tackles every Sunday. Like, okay, Jelani, like, you know, relax. Like, watching this team is not some privilege that fans get to, it should be proud or happy that they get the right to do. Like, come on.
And I don't see any, I compared him earlier to Jaren Duran in the weird, Duran had that problem with his Q rating, like,
the way
he was looked at, and then he turned it around. Now he's an exciting, flashy, fun player. I don't envision Tavai having that ability.
Yeah,
like, he is forever going to be remembered as the dink. I don't know if I can say the other word. DB, not Dan Ball, the DB who said the fans should know their role.
Yeah,
like, he's never going to overcome this. This will be the lasting memory of his career in New England, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I don't know if they're going to cut him or what's going to happen, but I'd imagine it's probably not going to be too much longer that he's with this team, even though he just signed a three-year extension with this regime, right? That wasn't built.
I believe so. Added to the list of bad extensions signed by this regime.
I know.
Do you believe
a long list?
Do you agree with me that he should be inactive?
Tavai?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that sends a message, yeah.
It sends a message to him, sends a message to the fans, and it also helps you lose the game because he is, for whatever he is, still one of your better defensive players.
Yeah, he's probably better than whoever the, I don't even know who the leading backup is. Right, yeah, he's the leading tackler on the team right now.
More sucky-sucky.
That's true. Yeah, it'd be talky-talky if not. This just was posted in the Globe, or I just happened to see it. It was posted this morning, and it's Michael Silverman, and it says, there are plenty of tickets on the market for Sunday's Patriots game. Many of them are at less than face value.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't say.
Here's the lead. The Patriots' 3-13 season will be put out of its misery Sunday at Gillette. Unsurprisingly, there's no clamor to witness the final moments. Demand has plummeted for the game, said Jim Holzman, owner of Ace Ticket. You ever met Jim, by the way?
No.
You ever met this guy? He's a riot. He's really very, very funny, dude. There's more sellers than ever. Six of the last eight games, tickets were going below face value. That's never happened before, never in this century. Now, the century goes back a ways, but not that far. And we're talking about now unprecedented levels of fan apathy. Right? I mean, that's what we're looking at here.
And not a blizzard. You people use the excuse that it snowed last year to not go to Belichick's final game.
Don't point at me. I went to the game.
I mean, you people.
All right.
It was not you.
You pointed at me.
Well, you represent the people.
No, I don't, because I went to the game.
Okay, you don't need to get so defensive.
Well, I'm defensive because you pointed at me.
I did, actually, because so. For some reason I thought you used that as an excuse.
No, I was there. I lost a bet. I bet there'd be no touchdowns in the game, and then that DB Breece Hall busted one long run at the end of it and ruined my bet. So, yeah, I'm still bitter about that. I would have won a lot of money on that if they had not scored a touchdown. Anyways, all that to say, I was there.
Okay,
so
you were there.
Yes.
But it's going to be chilly, I think, on Sunday, but
you
no
there?
Weather. No.
Oh, well, then don't. You people. What are you talking about, you people? You weren't there.
I had to work.
Work where?
Post-game show.
You could go to the stadium and do it.
No.
What do you mean, though?
They don't let us.
They don't?
No.
Not even Fitzy? They won't let Fitzy go down there record once or twice. Come on. They at least owe Fitzy a little bit. He's up there emceeing Tom Brady night. He's in there trying to get the crowd, 2,000 people excited.
That. Is he working on Sunday?
Good question.
Does he have to do the hard sell to get the crowd going on Sunday?
Oh, boy, yeah. Oh, that sucks.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah,
who wants Fitzy to win this Patriots T-shirt?
We have an autographed Jelani Tavai ball. Now, that would actually be funny.
That would be funny.
They should send him out there with an autographed Jelani Tavai jersey and see what the reaction would be. That would be funny. He should just go out in a Tavai jersey. That would actually be funny.
That would be funny. And, like, he starts mocking the crowd, too.
Yeah.
Go all like, this in. Is a bar of soap.
Go all
you
in.
New England people should try to use one with someday. You know,
let's turn this into
full
wrestling.
Full on wrestling.
The football
that would be
can't
great.
Entertain you, so we're going to entertain you with these gimmicks. It might actually work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might actually get the crowd back on your side.
All right. Before we make our picks, let's talk to Matt in Rhode Island. Matt, you have the last word here on this crap bag Patriots team. Go ahead.
Well, this has been a heck of a day, but what I'll say is yoga pants are a top five invention of all time.
Yes. Especially when Stiz is wearing them. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what Stiz is doing, but hey, I love Stiz and respect due to Stiz.
My
anyway,
God, Matt.
The Patriots
Matt, were you saying it's an all-time great invention for women or for men?
He's saying invention period. I was the one who threw in Stiz.
I guess I'll go with invention period. I don't want to make any, decisions
on
that.
Matt, you don't have to explain yourself to Hard O Hard here. Just
have
go
you,
ahead with your take.
Matt, have you worn them? Have you worn yoga pants?
No. No, I haven't, but I don't have that kind of figure like Stiz probably has.
Nope.
Stiz. Trust your boy, Stiz.
Trust
your boy, Matt.
With a peach like Stiz's. Anyway, go ahead, man.
Patriots, really impressive. They've taken this from even before the season started, and I want to say every week there's been some sort of mess to clean up and walk back and whatnot. The play on the field has obviously been an abomination. I don't know what strides they're planning on making for culture, but it just seems like Gelato Tavai really topped it off today. Yeah, I said Gelato. That's right. And, I was listening to the interview. They gave him every chance to kind of walk it back. He went at Wiggy, like you guys were saying earlier. It's just like, as it refers to last week, I just wanted to, with Dietrich Wise, I was surprised to hear him say that, a 40-7 game in that respect. But, they're really toeing the line on really potentially losing a lot of steam behind this franchise.
Yeah, yep. I think you're right about that.
They're unlikable.
Right that.
They didn't toe the unlikable line. They have crossed the line into unlikable. And I don't think that was supposed to happen. young team, rookie quarterback, first-year coach who's a leader of men, culture builder. They weren't supposed to be unlikable. They are absolutely, at this point in time, an unlikable football team.
According to this article, there are 20,000. 20,000 of the 64,000 seats are up for grabs right now on Ticketmaster.
Wow.
And that's Ticketmaster. That's not secondary market even, right? Like,
oh, so, those are all on Ticketmaster?
I think so.
So
yeah.
That doesn't
that's what
include
it says. Roughly a third of the 64,628 seat venue appeared up for grabs. A graphic display of the lack of local desire. And this is from the Ticketmaster seating chart at Gillette Stadium.
And you won't even get, because the Bills are going to play their backups, you won't even get a bump of Bills fans saying, hey, you want to drive up for the game? The tickets are only $10.
Yeah, you want to go watch Mitch Trubisky up
right.
in Foxborough?
They're not going to come watch.
No.
It's okay.
Wow. Oh, we get to sit out there. It's 30 degrees. Like, no, thank you. This Although, for Buffalo, that's probably a nice tropical climate.
This is going to be a debacle.
It's going to be bad.
This can't end well.
Mm.
If they win, fans are mad. If they lose, fire Mayo will continue to be chance. They're going to boo Tavai. They're going to boo Mayo. What good can come from this game?
Two straight seasons ending. One ending with Bill Belichick coaching his last ever game in front of nobody and nobody caring.
Yep.
And no one showing up and there not being anything special. He just trudges off the field, defeated by the crapbag Zach Wilson Jets. And now here we are at the end of this season and it's worse.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think it'd be worse than
it's
that.
Karma for Mayo guaranteeing more wins.
I didn't think it could be worse than that.
Settle down, Belichick boy in there. It's karma for Mayo.
Yep.
Backstabbing bastard that he is.
Forgot where he came from.
You're so unbelievable. It's worse because the talent stinks. And you know why the talent stinks? Two names,
Bill
two initials,
Belichick.
Same letter. Bill Belichick.
How you His like comments Dem would apples? Never be happening under Bill.
Where's your UNC hat, by the way, that you stole from me in the Christmas?
I'm waiting for my. I know. I like
my moose mug, but I did like that hat.
I know you liked
you know,
it.
I was,
know. I was really torn on taking that because I knew.
I
you
thought
liked
if
it.
I put the hat on, you'd be scared that
nope.
I had lice or something.
Nope.
And you wouldn't trade
no way.
It, but no.
I'm waiting for my UNC onesie to come in that okay. I ordered from like things pop up on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
So it's coming from like Singapore. So I'm hoping that it's gonna come.
Oh, it's coming from China. Like, yeah, this is in packed into some cargo something, and who knows when it's
And his information
here.
Has absolutely been stolen from
oh,
where
absolutely.
The hell you got it from.
Oh, you also got to be careful. There's a lot of, like, weird bugs and spiders and stuff coming in those shipments that'll kill you.
Oh, that's...
Tarantulas, different things like that.
There's tarantulas in
oh, yeah.
the UNC onesie shipment?
No, coming from cheap Chinese stuff. The Shein. Have you ever heard of Shein?
No.
It's a
Charlie?
Cheap... No. I may be mispronouncing it. That happens from time to time.
Is this
me.
Shein?
Yeah.
The yeah, like the
cheap clothes.
Yeah. It might be Shine. I'm not sure.
The one that was the producer on the morning show.
The one that used to have the tags that would say, help me, come get me, because it's supposed to be made by kids in like slave labor sweatshops.
This doesn't sound like a real thing.
No, it is. And now they're sending the clothes with tarantulas. People are opening tarantula clothes.
This sounds like something Alex Jones says on his show.
All right, turning the frogs.
There's frogs, and the frogs are gay, and there's tarantulas.
I saw it on the internet.
With the UNC onesies, they got tarantulas in them with the slave labor.
It's happening.
He was on Drudge Report earlier this morning.
It's
now
happening.
He's all worked up.
Alex Jones over here. Andy Jones. All right, let's get to our picks, please.
Son of a bitch.
I'm just excited to hear what Andy's doing on Monday. What are you doing
right.
on Monday?
Yeah.
Hey, celebrating on Monday.
What are you doing on January 6th, Andy?
Oh, I didn't even know what it was. MAGA heart, baby.
He knew.
The 20th is my holiday. Inauguration day.
Okay. So we did not make picks from week 17 because of the holiday. And because Andy bitched multiple times before the holiday that I'm bad at standings, I went back and counted from whatever Stiz handed over to where we are with our current picks. Going into week 16, the last time that you guys made your picks,
okay.
you guys were tied.
Oh, my God. Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Completely tied.
It's a Quiz with Stiz 2.0 in that you're both, at least from whatever I had in front of me, 17 and 15 on your picks.
All right. Well, okay.
That was going into week 16.
Uh-oh.
So, Andy Hart, you went 4-3-1 because you pushed.
Okay.
And Christian, you went 1-6-1.
Yeah, I had a bad week. I know that. Yeah.
So Andy goes in with a 3-pick victory
for the week
advantage.
Right.
going into for the entire season, at least from the information that I have in front of me. So for today's picks, other than the Patriots game, we're going to do the games that matter in the NFL. So there's still some spots up for grabs at the end of the AFC, the NFC North, the NFC Championship. So we'll go through some of those games, starting with the duet of games that you'll hear here tomorrow. The Browns at 3-13, the Ravens at 11-5. As all four AFC North teams will be playing tomorrow. Ravens are 20-point favorites. Love throwing a big number in there to see how confident you guys are. But Christian Arcan, we'll start with you. Ravens at 11-5. They are hosting this game. Browns at 3-13. Can they cover a 20-point spread?
I say yes. I'm going with Cleveland plus 20 here. I just think that's a preposterous line for a division game, even though it's the Browns who stink and the Ravens who are very good. And I know the Ravens still have something to play for. Even with that in mind, I think Cleveland's defense is going to be able to get within 20. I mean, that seems outlandish to me. I know what they're doing. They're trying to get the most action. I'm going to go with Cleveland plus 20 there.
Can I ask a question? Is this a regular season picks contest?
Yes. I don't know. This was a pre-me thing. So I don't know if you're competing against each other. Are there bragging
rights?
Well,
let's decide. Is it or isn't it? Do you want to go into the playoffs or not?
I think it should go into the playoffs.
All right, we'll go through the playoffs.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
That's perfect. Important for the veracity of my picks. Otherwise, I was just going to make the same exact pick that he made for everything, and I wouldn't be able to lose.
It's true, yeah.
Right?
I suppose.
Damn, outsmarted us again.
You ever hear a Zappy Fiva? The Browns are going to catch Zappy Fiva. Give him 20 points. I don't know. That just seems like a really massive number.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Really, really massive number. So give me those points. Give me the Browns.
Okay. Next one on Saturday. Again, both of these games will be on EEI tomorrow. Bengals, 8-8. Joe Burrow, a historic season that would be getting more MVP play, I think, if his team was more than 500 at 8-8. They take on the 10-6 Pittsburgh Steelers. Game is in Pittsburgh tomorrow. Cincinnati, however, is favored in this one. 2.5 points as the road favorite for tomorrow night's contest. Andy Hart, we'll start with you. Bengals and Steelers, where are you leaning?
So the Rome dog, barks the loudest, rut-row raggy. But it doesn't for me because I'm a Joe Burrow guy. I told you for a while I thought the Steelers were frauds. They've played like frauds lately. And what are the permutations? How do the Bengals make the playoffs? Because I think Joe Burrow is going to lift his Bengals to the playoffs. And if he makes the playoffs, that's going to inject him into that MVP conversation. That gets a lot louder, that talk. But I think the Bengals are the better football team. They put up a lot of points. The Steelers don't put up a lot of points. It's very simple.
The Bengals can win, can make the playoffs if they win and Denver loses against Kansas City and Miami loses or ties against the Jets.
Ugh. Miami's going to lose to the Jets.
What does Miami have to do with it? Miami still alive?
Yeah, they are. They're also 8-8, and they have the tiebreaker against Cincinnati going into this
week.
There
you go. So Miami has to lose or tie. Denver has to lose to Kansas City.
I don't feel good about my guys Bengals because you're counting on the Jets.
I know. That's tough. I'm going to go with the Bengals here, too. The Steelers have been a disaster lately, and the Bengals, you're right. I mean, I basically agree with a lot of what you said there about Joe Burrow. I still think it's a two-guy race between Jackson and Allen. I still give a slight edge to Allen, even though I checked, and Jackson's numbers are slightly better, but Allen's numbers were better last year, and Jackson won the MVP, so I think they'll probably just give it to Allen this year. That being said, if Burrow drags that team to the playoffs, you're going to have to consider him, too. I think they do win that game, but don't make the playoffs, so give me Cincinnati. And I'll delay the 2.5, too.
Okay, next one. The NFC South is still technically up for grabs. Tampa Bay can win and kind of control its own fate. But before we get to that, the Falcons are 8-8. They host the 4-12, but kind of playing better, Carolina Panthers at a game on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Atlanta is 7.5-point favorites at home on Sunday with a chance to stay alive in the NFC South race. Christian Arcan, where do you sit on this one?
I want to pick Carolina here, because I do think they've gotten better, and I do like sort of what I've been seeing from guys like Bryce Young. Adam Thielen had a great touchdown last week, and, you know, they are a division rival and all of that, but I think Atlanta's going to be able to win this one decisively. 8 points, you said, or 7.5?
7.5.
7.5. I can envision a 10-point win over Carolina more than I can envision like a 20-point win for Baltimore over Cleveland. So I'm going to go ahead and take Atlanta here. I don't feel great about this. If we were doing vetoes, I might veto this game, but I'll take the Falcons.
A not-so-wise man once told me in division battles, take the big number, and I think anything over a touchdown, that half, is a big number. Mm. So I think the Falcons probably win the game, but I think the Panthers are playing well enough to take that 7.5 points right now. And it's a division game, so it's weird. And you have Michael Penix, who's barely played.
Right.
Is he good? Is he not good? Is he going to throw it to the other team?
I think he is good, but yeah.
We'll see. But there's some question there, so just give me that number. I'm taking the number in this game.
Okay. That game could be rendered moot based on what happens between the 9-7 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are hosting the 5-11 New Orleans Saints, also at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Tampa is 14-point favorites against New Orleans going into this game on Sunday. So, Andy, I'll start with you. You mentioned something about the big number, especially in a division game. So, where do you sit on this one?
But sometimes the big number is accurate, and you can lay that number. So, when I see Tampa, they can put up points, and especially when you're going to have a good Baker Mayfield day. Also, Patriots fans, don't watch this because there's another Washington receiver who every time I see them play is scoring.
Killing it.
The McMillan kid is always in the end zone.
So much better than Paul.
So much better. So I just think that the Bucs are a significantly better team in this game. They're motivated. They're playing to win. So I will lay that number, and I'll take the Bucs.
All right. I'm going to do exactly what you just did in the last one and say that that number's too big. 14's too big. I know it's. I just said the opposite about 8, but 14 is two scores. Two touchdowns. I don't know about that. I'll go with the Saints. Give me New Orleans.
All right, to wrap up the AFC picture, we'll talk about the game you guys mentioned a few moments ago. The Miami Dolphins at 8-8, still in the hunt, chasing down the Broncos. They are on the road, and it's going to be under 40 degrees, as they take on the 4-12 New York Jets. Miami is a one-point favorite on the road going into this one, 4:25 kickoff on Sunday. Dolphins and Jets. Christian, can the Dolphins at least stay alive in this race?
I think not. I think the Dolphins are going to go out there and blow it. I think the Jets win this game, and I think it's going to be an ugly, low-scoring, crap-bag game, and the Dolphins are going to do bad in the cold like they always do, and the Jets are going to do just enough to squeak out a win. So I'm going to go with the Jets here.
I will never take the Jets. I don't really feel great taking the Dolphins either, but I have to pick somebody in this game, and I'm just, nope, not going to pick the Jets. They're interviewing Ron Rivera, so they're just dumb.
This is another one of those, like, unstoppable force, immovable yeah. object of suck.
Iran, like, Iraq.
Who sucks worse?
Who should I pick, Iran or Iraq? Kinda, I don't yeah. want either, So but I got to pick somebody, so I will take the Dolphins.
Okay, the Broncos can make that game and the Bengals game mean nothing if they handle business against Carson Wentz and the Kansas City Chiefs. Broncos are 9-7. They're hosting this game on Sunday at 4:25. Chiefs are 15-1 because of how many players are not playing. The Broncos are 10.5-point favorites going into this game on Sunday. So, Andy Hart, can the Broncos take care of their own business on Sunday?
So, sort of like the Bills, they have a professional backup, Carson
yep.
Wentz.
Yep.
Like, no, I'm not doing it. Give me the Broncos. Give me the team with something to play for. Give me Bo Nix. Give me Sean Payton. Give me the Broncos. The number's a little larger than I would like it to be. But, you know, that's the cost of doing business.
Yeah, sharps are on Denver. I'm on Denver, too. I'm doing steam chasing a little bit here. But I think that, yeah, it's a 10.5 against the backups in Kansas City. Like, they could very well win that game by 3 or 4 scores, I think. If Kansas City's not going all out and not playing their guys, I think this could be a big-time beatdown.
It's a good coaching matchup.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Why can't we get offenses like that?
I don't know.
Okay, to the game of the week and potentially the game of the year, the Detroit Lions, the team that the Patriots are going to be in a couple years, 14-2, they're at home hosting the also 14-2 Minnesota Vikings. So the NFC North is on the line, but more importantly, the number one seed and home field advantage in the NFC is on the line. Detroit is 2.5-point favorites at home, Sunday Night Football, you can hear it right here, after the Six Rings postgame show. But Christian Arcand, what do we think about a game that should be one for the ages?
I'm going with the Vikings here. Ooh. I like the Vikings here. The Vikings, who have had
KOC.
A very, very strong finish to the season here. They only lost those two games in the middle of the year. It was to Detroit and to the Rams, and since then they've just been steamrolling teams and also winning games close by, too. So I think that the number is low for a reason. They're +3. You're giving them points. I know Detroit's been great, but I like Minnesota in the +3. If you're giving Minnesota points, I feel like I have to take them.
So we talk about culture, and we keep pointing to Detroit, but I don't know if you guys saw that video clip of Kevin O'Connell mic'd up talking to Sam Darnold.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, yeah,
incredible.
And he's like, back out of the huddle for a minute. Okay, mm-hmm. You're going to step in the huddle. This is what you're going to – and I was like, wow. Yeah. Like, this is a master class in why Sam Darnold has probably turned his career around in Minnesota. He's playing well. They're playing well. And I think they have the better head coach in this game. And I hate – Jared Goff. So I never pick Jared Goff in important games. This is a fun game. Nice job, NFL. You got a little lucky, but the whole putting division games at the end of the year pays off. Number one seed on the line. Give me the Vikings.
Love that. Okay, you guys are both on the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. Last one. Save the best for last. Mm-hmm. We'll get this one out of the way. Bills and the Patriots, a game that is more ass than Stiz has. Bills are 13-3.
That's a lot of ass.
I know.
Back that ass up.
Bills are 13-3. Patriots are 3-13 because of how many good players the Bills will not be playing in because the Patriots stink. Buffalo is a 3-point favorite on the road. Andy Hart, what are you picking and why are you picking it?
I am going to pick with what I want to happen, not necessarily what I think could happen, because the cynic in me thinks they're going to F this up and ruin my perfect offseason and number one pick and all the dream scenarios and trades and the whole thing. And I keep going back to Mitchell Trubisky has a winning record as an NFL starting quarterback. They have, I read this long preview from The Athletic today from a Bills writer. They're going to have a whole backup offensive line, but they might have some veterans in at receiver. You give Mitchell Trubisky a little veteran help at receiver. I'm just saying, give me the Bills. I want the Bills to win. I need the Bills to win. Gerard, for all that is good and holy, do not F this up. Play Milton, play Baker, play Polk, and let the Bills win.
I think that they are going to play Joe Milton, and I think he's probably going to get at least the second half, maybe the last three quarters of the game. I would say my gut is telling me that Drake May will start.
Yeah.
And he'll be taken out after a couple series or after one quarter. It's going to be Joe Milton for the rest of the game, who, I'm sorry, is going to get out-dueled by Mitch Trubisky. Give me the Bills. Give me the points.
Yeah!
I think the Sharps are on the Patriots, but I'm not. Buffalo, this is wish casting. It's what I want to have happen, too. Go in there and kick the Patriots' ass. Let's get this first overall pick, and let's get this rebuild going. And get on to Black Monday or Black Wednesday, as Giardi was saying, and let's get on with our lives here. That's where I am. Buffalo minus three. I'll take Buffalo.
All right, gentlemen, those are our Week 18 picks. So Arcan needs to make up three games on Hart this weekend. I know we're going into the playoffs, but there are three games that you disagree on. Okay. So Arcan, you got to sweep the board.
All right, hopefully I do. We're going to wrap things up next with Odds and Ends.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Odds and Ends brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easiest way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K and the number 4. Or give them a phone call. It's 1-877. We'll set our number. 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. I don't know what number's been said more on the air here. Our number or Cars for Kids number. It's probably pretty close, I would say.
And early on, there was the giant glass number as well.
Oh, 1-800-54-GIANT.
Yeah.
That's who you call when your windshield's busted.
Exactly.
That was a great one.
Yeah.
One of the all-time greats. That, the midday show with their grab bag, they have the Water Country.
Water Country.
It's a great
water
one.
Water Country.
I feel like the Nines is up there.
Foxwoods.
Oh, yeah.
What was Foxwoods?
What was Foxwoods?
No, the, like,
Take a Chance.
Jingle.
Make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Meet me at Foxwoods. Foxwoods, that one. You don't remember that one?
Yeah, now that you're saying
that was one of the all-time
spin the wheel round and round it goes.
There
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, I got you.
The New York guy knows it.
There was yeah,
a,
I know.
A great, well, I guess Fox
well,
was it, down
and
there.
And he's
yeah,
from Connecticut,
true. Right?
There was one down by me, probably on 103.7. It was the Block Island Ferry. That was
sail away on the Block Island Ferry.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Remember that one?
That was
like
a
that
really
one.
Good one.
That was very very good.
They also was one for one of the dog racing places. Chase the rabbit, chase the rabbit, chase Ooh. The rabbit.
Not sure about that one.
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
I feel like my guy Ernie Bach has a classic
Ernie
one.
Bach's got a bunch.
Yep.
When
Ernie
your basement's,
Bach Jr.
When your basement's waterlogged, call 1-800-BUSY-DOG is a good
Busy
one.
Busy dog.
Yeah. Busy dog, you never have to worry. There's a lot of good jingles. Boston Radio has produced some of the best jingles, I think, ever.
Well,
in the history of the medium, I think.
What sitcom character was a jingle writer?
What sitcom character was
Oh, Charlie Sheen
writer?
From Two and a Half Men.
Which I
oh,
always
really?
Used to
I didn't
think,
really watch that show.
You never watched? That show was awesome.
I didn't watch it very much.
Because it was comedy and hot chicks.
Yeah, there were hot chicks.
But I always used to think
the only show that had comedy and hot chicks in
it. Yeah, it was a good mix.
They really had the market corner.
Well, that and Golden Girls.
right. Yeah. But I always thought, like, how can this guy have all this money from jingles? But then when you think about some of these jingles that last forever.
Oh, yeah.
I bet the guy who writes them makes money forever.
Quickly, Arcan, you know who wrote McDonald's? What's that one?
Good.
I'm loving it.
I'm loving it. Pusha T.
Yes, that's right.
Who?
Yeah. Pusha T.
A famous rapper.
He's a rapper. He's the guy.
He's not that
guy,
famous. I never heard of him.
He dissed Drake before Kendrick
did.
Yeah,
before it was cool.
And he, I think, I mean, his song wasn't as popular, obviously, but that story of Adidon song.
He outed the fact that Drake had a kid.
I mean, that
Drake
was hiding the kid. That was brutal when he came out with that. That was brutal when he came out with that.
He's hip-hop no Mr. history,
Liff.
Andy. Yeah.
Mr. Liff.
Yeah, there you go. You're going local.
My guy.
Yeah, there it is.
That's my guy.
Mr. Liff ever done a jingle, he'd probably be good at it. Mr. Liff has a good, like,
jingle. Oh, yeah, I told you. He wrote our podcast open.
Oh, there you go.
Back in the day.
So there it is.
I have a quick, serious question I want to throw out there that's probably for next week.
All right, go
quick. We didn't touch on somehow at all this week.
Uh-huh.
Would you hire Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame head coach?
To be the head coach of the Patriots?
Yeah.
I'd consider it.
Whoa, whoa, save it. Save it for next week. I just want to throw. I think that's a guy, like, when I saw
him, in for the interview for sure. Yeah,
he's impressive.
Yeah,
he's really impressive. Now I don't. Yeah, you have him in. I don't know what his plan is. Does he have a plan? Could he put a staff together? You might have all the same issues, but that's a guy that's in, like, looks like a leader of men.
Going to college, I want to give Coach Prime a call too.
I want nothing to do with Coach Prime.
Yeah, right. He turned a 1-11 team into
9-4. He doesn't practice specialty. How'd they play the other day?
Not great.
Not great.
Not great. They were a 1-11 team. They were top 25 this year.
How are they going to play next year when they get rid of the Gucci baggage he brought with them, and then they have to try to win without him?
He's bringing in more Gucci baggage.
Yeah, we'll see.
There's more of that coming in here.
Oh, he brings in a lot of supposed
talent. He's bringing in a lot of that. Yeah,
he turns the roster. He just goes through kids. He recycles them, throws them out, trashes them.
That's what you're supposed to do in college.
Yeah, you're also supposed to win. They've been playing a lot of playoff games. They expanded the playoffs. How many playoff games did he play?
He's been there two seasons. And he took a 1-11 team to 9-4.
Two is enough to get into the playoffs.
That is a miraculous turnaround.
Bill Belichick's going to be in the playoff next year. Chapel Bill
will be
in the playoff next year. This
he's
is where Stiz and I align.
Chapel Bill
will be in the playoff. Deion Bill
is going to be wishing he could turn around UNC. Like, he's got. If he comes close to doing what Deion did in Colorado, they're going to be doing backflips.
Did you see that offensive lineman he got from Holy Cross?
Oh, you see that punter he got? Wow, amazing. That's all for us.
Playoffs, baby.
Stick around. The Travis Thomas Experience is coming your way after this. He will take you up until 10 o'clock tonight. Keep it going for him at 617-779-7937. I'm back on Sunday at 10 o'clock for the final WEEI Football Sunday. Andy Hart will be there as well. Dan Ball, I believe, is going to be there as well. That's cool. Also, Mego Scheim, I don't think, will be on the show. And we'll talk with Fitzy and Curran and the usual gang. We'll get Wiggy's Keys and, of course, Andy Hart as well. That's all coming up at Sunday at 10. We'll talk to you again Monday at 2 right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.